Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to a new episode of Old Lady's Favorite Muslim Lady. Well, this is Asma. Once more, I have the honor to be at your service in the coziest place for women. Well, and here with me, I have Sister Zainab. Assalamu alaikum, sister, and welcome.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, really, for coming here. Well, it's always a pleasure to be here with you, an honor, a great honor to be with all these great ladies that are listening to us. So I know that you're a mother of two sons, and I know that during the phase of your pregnancy, you must have been considering many specific details. Let's share a bit of these details, considering the places that you didn't go at that time and the prayers that you would have done during that time, and also the fruits that are recommended for a pregnant woman to take in.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I would say the body of a pregnant woman becomes a sanctuary, a mosque made of flesh, carrying a soul touched by the breath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So she must be vigilant about the environments she enters, for surroundings influence the unseen world within her. So I would talk about the places first, prohibited places during pregnancy. Prophet Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him and his family, he taught us, sin leaves a stain upon the heart and evil environments breed evil inclinations. So the first thing I would recommend is that a pregnant woman should avoid the places of sin and the places of corruption. Yeah. For example, she should avoid places where it's the backbiting happening, the places of slandering, where they are just, you know...
Haram foods are eaten...
She should avoid the places of immorality, any sort of, and the gatherings of, like, you know, where there's a shameless kind of exposure and the vice versa. And it's not just you have to be physically somewhere and then only you're in a place. Sometimes we are just one click away from a deep hole, entering a deep hole. So,
even watching that is going to have an impact.
You're already in that space. You're already in that place. So when I say avoid that, you have to avoid that, be that physically you're present in that place or in a virtual space you have entered such stuff.
So even psychologically speaking, it's not good for mothers to watch harsh scenes or scenes that include some harsh or bad words. All of these things have been proved.
And all sorts of, I would say, haram kind of entertainment, because we have entertainment and recreation. In fact, we have been told that divide your time and keep a specific time in your day for entertainment and recreation. So entertainment is encouraged in Islam, but provided it is halal and has the boundaries. But I don't know where there is some haram kind of music in some gathering, in some wedding or something, and they don't, they are heedless. They don't, they are not restrained. So these places should be avoided. Why? Because emotions, fear, stress, sorrow, anger, they deeply imprint upon the unborn child.
Yeah.
So also, the modern psychology confirms here that a mother's stress hormones directly influence the baby's developing brain, wiring patterns for anxiety, fear, or stress, you know.
This is IRIB English Radio. Muslim Lady is presenting an episode on what to eat and where to go and where not to go while the mothers are pregnant, the ladies are pregnant. So we talked about the places that she shouldn't go, and we said that the reason is fear, stress, and all of these bad stuffs are going to have a direct impact on the child, on the infant, who's actually a fetus in the very early stage. Now let's talk about what kind of food she has to eat and what kind she has to just exclude from the list of what she eats.
Right. So what the mother eats becomes the blood that nourishes her child.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why Islam deeply emphasizes on halal and also tayyib, the pure kind of nutrition. So first of all, she should avoid all sorts of haram or unlawful foods. Anything that's
this
unlawful.
This is very important.
It is important. It is important. Like, for example, I remember I was telling my husband, like, since we are from the Indian administrated Kashmir, so I was telling him I would love to stay in India for some time. And he was like, then you would have to struggle for halal food because it's not everywhere Muslims around. And all those foods do have a direct impact on your body, on your soul, even the du'as that you make, right?
Now, maybe in today's world, some stuff, some values, some great values have lost their importance. And maybe people do not take consideration of those stuff. Like, for example, I remember there was a story. Now, I do not remember the whole idea, but there is the general point of that story. I remember that there was a scholar whose mother wanted to eat an apple. And then that apple came from somewhere whose husband, I guess, got the apple from the ground.
Yeah.
It was just there. But then the woman asked, where does it come from? You have to ask the gardener. Maybe he's not satisfied with me eating this apple.
Yeah, he's not content about it.
Now, these are very important stuff. We may not actually consider them, but they have a great impact on
the
child.
They do have haram food. It's not just, you know, you go to some place and the meat or something was not slaughtered in the name of Allah. It's not just this.
Exactly.
It also goes beyond this. It's the unlawful earnings that feed the table.
Very true, yeah.
Right? Like we have the verse, وَيْلٌ لِلْمُتَّفِّفِينَ. Woe to those who sell less.
Yeah.
Because, you know, sometimes a person is a trader and he is taking more money and selling less.
Yeah, a kind of cheating happens.
Yeah, so any kind of fraud, any
so
kind
where
of,
does it come from?
Yes.
The food, where does it come from? Is it lawful
anything
or not?
Anything that is being fed on your table, you have to have a check on it that it's not coming from unlawful earnings.
Yeah, because it's going to have a direct impact on the soul of the child.
Right. Also, Imam Sadiq al-Islam says that the flesh that grows from haram sustenance is more worthy of hellfire. Imagine when Imam Hussein al-Islam in the Karbala was, you know, he was literally standing in front of them and he was telling them over and over again and again.
Clarify
and then
everything for them, but they did not pay any heed to
it. Why does that happen? Because Imam says to them, you would have had some impact. It would have, my words would have had some impact on you, but they do not because your stomachs are filled with the
your
haram.
Bellies are filled with the unlawful food.
Yes. So that's how important it is. So unlawful food corrupts not just the body, but the very spirit of a person, be that a child.
Now, even if you have lawful earnings, it's not good to buy junk foods while you're pregnant. So it's not just about unlawful food. It's about the quality of the thing that you take
mentioned
in. But then we go for a break and then we come back.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
You mentioned a very, very important point that a woman should avoid junk foods, even if they are not haram or something. We have something we usually discuss about haqqullah. We usually discuss about haqqun nas, the right of Allah and the right of the people.
Mm-hmm.
But we forget one haqq in between, that is haqqun nafs. That's the right of the self.
Yeah.
You are not authorized to be feeding yourself, to be doing anything with yourself
that harms you.
Like if you are feeding yourself with something that is harmful for your body, is going against haqqun nafs, right?
Exactly.
It's not
so
the haqq of your nafs. It's not the right
yourself.
Of yourself. Yes, it's not the right of yourself.
So sometimes it's not just about the lawful and unlawful food. There is also
harmful
this
foods.
Right of taking care of your own self. Sometimes you have to take care of the kind of food that you eat because it's going to harm your body. Like too much of something Right now, we know that there are many videos out there telling you what to eat, what not to eat, how much of minerals you have to take in, and the other stuff that you already know.
Yes, because,
so you have to take care of every single detail.
Right, because those foods, like we were talking about, they can induce miscarriage.
Exactly.
So you're not just taking care of yourself. There's another being within you. So you have to take care of even that. So in medical science, like excessive caffeine or certain herbs, they are harmful. So it's not just from, you have to stay away from the haram food, but also the harmful foods that contain the heavy preservatives, that contain the artificial chemicals.
If we want to summarize it, take care of your health.
Yes.
Be careful about the things that you take in. Now, since the time of today's episode is very limited, actually, always it is limited, and time flies so fast because there are many details that we want to add in, let's move to this part of our discussion that, are there any special sort of worships and prayings that she has to include in her daily schedules?
It's told that to recite Surah Maryam for the ease of pregnancy and delivery. And also, like, I remember when I was on that phase, I would...
On that journey.
Yes, I would quite a lot recite Surah Inshiqaq, which is recommended a lot to recite these things at the time of...
So these are helpful for the hardship.
Yes, recite Surah Yusuf for the child's beauty, both inner and external, and recite Surah Insan to bless the child with patience, with generosity, and the love of Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salam. And also many other du'as, many other prayers, and many other munajat, you know, many other remembrances and zikr. So... ask Allah for a child firm in faith, gentle in heart, strong in intellect, and supplications like, oh Allah, make this child a servant of your deen or a servant of your religion, a bearer of your trust, a light upon the earth, a joy to the heart of the Prophet and his family, and I would definitely say a soldier of the awaited Imam
exactly. You see, we talked about where not to go as a pregnant mother, but then I think it's very important to draw some attention on this factor as well, that where she has to go. Like, we owe something to our mothers for entering the places, the gatherings.
Places of zikr.
Yeah, the gatherings in which the name of Imam Hussein alayhi salam or Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam were there.
Yes.
I do believe, and Islamic heritage tells us, that being a part of these gatherings is going to have a direct impact on the child as well, on the purity of their souls.
We have seen a lot of children, a lot of small children, I don't know, of 1 month, 2 months, who react differently when they hear the name of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. I personally encountered a woman with a small child, and
pregnant women.
She was in a maqib, and like we were in the international maqib, and she entered for rest, and it was the noha of Imam Hussein alayhi salam there, and the child was so calm and listening, and also, you know, doing the matam, and I was like amazed. I told the mother, what is the reason behind it? It's not normal that a child of this age would be doing that. She said, in my pregnancy, I attended a lot of Husseini gatherings.
Yeah, so it rings a bell in the head of that child.
Indeed.
So this is very important. I thought it's very worthy of attention to mention this point as well. Because, you know, there are some people out there who say the mother should not cry, the mother should not participate in any gathering that includes crying or any sad story or stuff like this. But I do believe that even psychologically, crying for Imam Hussein alayhi salam is going to have a purifying effect on the mother and on the child.
Because when you're doing that, it's not just the water coming out of your eyes, it's the stress hormones.
And it's the, you know, it's the spiritual link.
Yeah.
We do believe in all of these things. It's like when you cry, and it's like when you cry while talking to God. It's not bothering, it's not hurting you. At the same time that it's hurting you.
Yes.
Like, it's paradoxical, but it has a very positive impact on your soul and your heart.
Yeah.
So thank you, Sister Zainab. And I wish for all the pregnant ladies out there to have an easy journey during their pregnancy. And may Allah bless them with health and ease of the journey. So this was all. I hope you have just enjoyed that. Until another session. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I know I'm waiting for something. something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing.